Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Big win last night for the Nashville Predators. They get it done 4-1 against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Always good with Sidney Crosby and company coming to town and the Preds are able to take care of business. They're playing really well right now. They won 5 out of their last 6 games. They are a team right now that is really clicking on all cylinders. Matt Duchene, who we're scheduled to have here in just a few minutes here on the show, playing really well. Philip Forsberg playing well. And, oh, by the way, another 3-point night from Roman Josi last night as well. So he now has 69 points. He set a new career high for points and goals and assists, everything that he's done up to this point. And there's still 22 games left for the Nashville Predators. So I think the idea of Roman Josi potentially breaking the franchise record for single season points, very much so on the table. So we'll see if he can keep that up. But another big win last night for the Predators, Joe. 5 out of 6 wins. Pretty impressive run for the Predators at this point. You know, the points just keep coming right along. And I thought even, you know, the last little stretch here just looks like their game itself is in order. Even the St. Louis game that they lost, they're playing really, really good hockey right now. So if you're David Poile and John Hines, I think you feel pretty good about where this team is right now. And another big win last night, Joe, for the Preds.
Yeah, look, it's that week after they were in their rut and the huge week, the Pecorine week. I know it ended with a loss, and I know that there's also been the tough loss to St. Louis in there. But for the most part, from the start of that week to now, you're seeing a team that over that time period is playing their brand of hockey. They've kind of rediscovered some things. It just seems like some of it is responsibility and things like that. And you know, just figuring out ways to win. They look like the team that was playing really well early in the season again.
Let's go inside the locker room, brought to you by Gary Ashton, Remax Advantage, and Social Furniture. Stop by Social Furniture today and see their new sofas they just got in on Charlotte Avenue. Going to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Preds forward Matt Duchene. Matt, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
Hey, good. How about you guys?
We're great. Good. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So, Matt, we were just talking about another big win for you guys last night against Pittsburgh, and it just feels like, even results aside, although they've been very good for you guys as of late, you guys have found your game. Where do you think you guys are in terms of your team game at the moment, and how does that, I guess, set you guys up as you head down the stretch here?
Yeah, I think, you know, we went right after the break there. We didn't have a very good run. And I think what happened was we were, you know, right in the groove of playing games every other night and playing really well. And then we hit that break and it kind of killed the momentum, and you get a totally rescheduled February with not a lot of games. I think we had the most games played at that point going into that. So we were going to have a pretty laid back month. And I think we got away from our game a little bit, just, you know, we got out of the rhythm, out of the groove, and, you know, kind of human nature when you start having all this, you know, free time all of a sudden. It's like, you know, after that kind of grind, you kind of maybe take your foot off the pedal a little bit mentally and check out a little bit at times when you're at home, whatever. And, you know, it showed on the ice a little bit. And after the Seattle game, that was a wake-up call for us. Like, hey, we got to get our game back. And since then, we've been great, and I think we've taken a step. So that adversity we faced was awesome. I think, you know, I remember talking to Dan Hynote about it one day before the San Jose game and just saying, you know, I think we're in a really good spot because you don't want to be peaking at the wrong time. You don't want to peak too early and have to maintain that. That can be really tough. So we want to just keep building and building. And I think, you know, that little lull set us up well for a stretch run here.
Matt, numbers aside, I look at the way you're playing, the plays you're attempting, the plays you're finishing. And I got to ask, is this as good as you felt as a professional hockey player right now?
Yeah, it's up there for sure. My second year in Ottawa, I had when I got traded, I had very similar numbers and was feeling really good, and just confidence was high. And but I think I think just being a little bit older and having gone through some adversity the last couple of years and things like that, just I think just mentally and just all around life-wise, I'm in just probably the best spot I've ever been for sure. I think I'm just very relaxed and just, you know, in the moment and able to, you know, when I'm at home, it's great. I'm able to really, you know, just, you know, spend time with my family and enjoy that. And then when I'm at the rink, I'm, you know, very calm, very, you know, just very in the moment and just have that confidence that I'm going to throw my gear on, work the way I can work, and things will turn out the right way. So it's a good feeling right now, and I know a lot of us are feeling that way, and that's huge for team success. So that's been the biggest and most important thing.
Press forward, Matt Duchesne on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. And Matt, to that point, how do you kind of explain the connection that you and Phillip have right now, whether that's with Granlund or with Johansson? It really hasn't mattered with you two guys. You've been productive all season long. How do you put into words kind of the connection you have right now on the ice with number nine?
Yeah, I think we've had chemistry since I got here. I think, you know, I think our game together has taken a step as of late, and I think our production's gone up because of it. You know, we were scoring almost every game before, but it was like one goal, you know, maybe two game where we didn't get one, whatever. And, you know, it was kind of, I was a little bit frustrated because I'm like, geez, we have more than this. As good as it's going right now, you know, we have that next step. And I think we've kind of found that together. And Joey's been, you know, great getting reunited with him. And obviously him and Granny, it's interchangeable. It's, you know, 1A, 1B option for us. It's great playing with both of them. And, you know, it's been going well. I think last night, you know, it was kind of a strange game. I don't think we were, you know, on it quite as much as we have been. But, you know, I think that going into Philly and going into the weekend here against Toronto, I think those are two exciting games. We haven't played a game in Philly in a long time. And I don't think I've never played against the Flyers as a Predator, which is crazy. And then, you know, we got the Leafs obviously coming in Saturday night, Hockey Night in Canada, all that stuff. So that'll be exciting. So a couple of big games this week. And we want to just keep pushing forward.
And of course, Matt, we're also a few days from the trading deadline, and you know, especially, you know, a player like you, players in this league, prominent players know well what that can mean in different seasons. A lot of talk all year long about Forsberg. How have you seen him handle that, maybe compartmentalize it and continue to play how he's playing? And have you had any talks with him here as it gets down to crunch time?
Yeah, I don't know where his negotiations stand. I don't know what the likelihood of him being traded or not is. I think I'd be shocked if he ended up going somewhere, even if he isn't signed. You know, I think we would all be shocked, obviously. But, you know, we've had good conversations. Just I try not to, you know, get into that type of business with guys. Like, just it's their personal stuff, and it's hard. It's hard. There's a lot that goes into it. I've been there at a trade deadline where I decided not to re-sign with the team and got traded. And then I was, you know, in free agency not too long ago, and that's a stressful process. And the biggest thing, we've talked a little bit about when I made my decision, you know, what went into it. And I think I gave him a little bit of food for thought. And you know, just his reaction to what I said I think he took it in for sure, but everyone's got their own process and everyone's got their own, decisions to make. And, obviously we want him here long-term. I mean, that goes without saying. I just try and, you know, respect him and respect, you know, what he's going through. And I mean, he's handling it obviously great because he's playing well and he's showing up for the team every night and, having the best year of his career. So, you know, there's no better way to kind of put that stuff aside than to play well. And I think, you know, when you're going through that stuff, the best outlet is to play games, and you feel like you're playing for something a little bit every single night, and that can drive you a little bit more too. So, I think that's probably the case with him for sure.
Matt Duchesne on the line with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Matt, how do you put it into words what your captain is doing on a nightly basis? The way he's playing defensively, But I mean, also, you know, 69 points in 58 games as a defenseman is just absurd. Like, how do you put into words what he's doing out there on a nightly basis?
Yeah, it's crazy. I think, you know, I'd like to say I'm surprised, but I'm not, just because of his skill set and the way he's on the ice 25-plus minutes a night. His talent level is obviously what it is. You know, he's a top. He plays the top on our power play. He's, I mean, if you add all that up, it's not a surprise where he's at. Although, to say a defenseman has 11 points over a point per game is insane numbers. So it's kind of funny. It's amazing, but then it's not at the same time because of just what he is and who he is. He's got, I always say it, he's got elite forward talent playing D. So he has, you know, the ability to control the game from back there and see everything and help make us better as forwards. And I think, you know, and then you see him block a shot like in Mini and saves a goal. You know, just those little things. So I think that's been just a trend with our whole team this year, is everyone's been probably the best version of themselves, or most guys have. And, you know, Yost is definitely showing that right now. And yeah, his numbers are crazy right now. He's obviously, you know, we were laughing about it after the game because he was plus six in San Jose. He was plus four last night. Like, those games don't come along very often. And he was just laughing. He's like, yeah, I got to ride this wave while it's here. So, you know, it's great to see him go through such a great stretch. And I know for me, just what he brings all around to our team, you know, I'd love to see him win another Norris. I think he's more than deserving. And I think his competition is greater than ever this year. But at the same time, he's doing so many great things to put himself, you know, he's in that he'll be a finalist absolutely all day long. But I think he, you know, if he keeps doing this, it's going to be pretty tough not to give it to him again.
Talking to Preds forward Matt Duchene. Matt, talking to other people, it seems, and wherever the season goes, we don't know, but I feel like that loss at Seattle feels like kind of an important moment, like kind of a maybe a turning point, wake-up call, whatever you want to call it. Would you agree with that? And what was the immediate aftermath of that loss like?
Well, I think it was definitely a good moment in the season. I wouldn't say it was like a pivotal moment or a peak moment or anything like that, because I think we would have got our act together either way. And that game would have happened against somebody else where we're just like, okay, we got to wake up a little bit here. But yeah, it was big. I mean, obviously that's a team with not a great record, and they had lost like seven in a row coming in, and they outplayed us all around. And we had a chance to win that game. We were up 2-0, and we kind of gave it away. But yeah, I think it was a good experience for us. And we were kind of waiting for the, you know, the shoe to drop a little bit there, and it did in that game. And we got back to what makes us, and we're doing it, you know, night in, night out right now. And I think honestly it's pretty funny, the best game we've played actually since that was the St. Louis game. I thought we were outstanding that game, and we didn't get the result we might have wanted to. I thought we were okay last night, and I think we all felt like we were okay last night, and we were okay against the Ducks, and we get the result. It's just funny. The league is funny, and those are two great teams that we end up winning, just being okay those nights. But, you know, we want to keep playing like we did against St. Louis. And that's a standard. That's the bar that we know we can get to. And I think sky's the limit for this team. I'm so excited about being here right now and being part of this group. And I just think sky's the limit, whether it's, you know, whether it's hard to win the Stanley Cup and whether it's this year or not. I think, you know, we're going to give ourselves the best chance, as good a chance as any team in the league if we play the way we can.
Well, no question about it. You guys are fun to watch right now. Matt, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Sounds good, guys. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Matt.
Absolutely. Matt Duchene, Preds forward, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Inside the Locker Room, brought to you by Gary Ash at RE/MAX Advantage and Social Furniture. Stop by Social Furniture today and see their new sofas they just got in on Charlotte Avenue. We'll take your thoughts on the Nashville Predators. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. What a big win for the Preds last night against Pittsburgh. What do you think of their chances to make a run coming down the stretch here heading into the playoffs? That's up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
you know, in general, as we talked with our players after the game, you know, we played three really strong teams, and basically, you know, a 3 and 4 here, and just have a lot of respect for the way that our guys have dug in and competed and remained focused and have been ready for the games and have met the challenges of each game, but also I think they've met the challenges within each game that, you know, whether we get tested on or areas that we got to improve upon. So a lot of respect for the way that, you know, our guys have competed, and tonight was a hard-fought battle and we found a way to win.
That was Preds head coach John Hines after the game last night, a 4-1 win for the Predators against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Speaking of the Predators, when the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45. So, Joe, another big win for the Preds last night. They get it done 4-1 against Sidney Crosby and company, which the crowd at Bridgestone Arena typically has fun with. Matthew from Jolton on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says there's something different about this Preds team. I feel better about this team than the one that won the President's Trophy. It's coming from Matthew from Jolton. Now, I can't say that because I felt pretty darn good about the Predators team that won the President's Trophy.
Yeah.
But I will say I feel better about this one than I have from any team since then. That includes the team the next year that won the division.
I think this is a considerably better feeling season than 2018-19. Yeah, they end up winning the division, so good job. But that was a marked step down that season in consistency, and you saw some things start to erode that season and become alarming. Of course, that was the season with this. I mean, basically that team was not tough enough or strong enough or big enough or anything, and they kept trying to add guys that they could put in front of the net. But this, and of course that team also had a power play that was just abhorrent. Oh, yeah. And they were still good. They're still a really good team with all that said, but now this team is the best team since the President's Trophy team. Just remember, the President's Trophy team absolutely could have won it all. Was really an elite team all year, and look, came up against another elite team and lost a 7-game series in the second round. But I would not yet put this team in that category.
No, I mean, I know that a lot of people view that President's Trophy team as a disappointment in the playoffs, and I understand why. You lost in the second round, and you had a team that was good enough to win a cup. But that's a pretty darn good team. So I don't know if I go quite that far, but I think that does highlight kind of what we're seeing right now. I mean, you can hear it in Duchesne's voice. This team feels like they can do something. And, you know, I think his answer on Forsberg was expected. Obviously, I think they would be shocked if Forsberg got traded at this point. Everybody wants him back in there. I mean, it goes without saying he's very popular in that locker room as well. So the players, to a man, are going to want him back, and they're going to want him here for a long time. I think you expect that. But outside of that, like, I think Duchesne and the players on this team, I think they believe that they can be dangerous in the playoffs. And you know what? Honestly, the more I watch them play, the more I'm starting to believe they can be dangerous in the playoffs. Now, you know, if they're matched up in the first round against Colorado or Calgary, am I going to pick them to win the series? I don't know. Probably not in Colorado's case. I'd think about it against Calgary. I don't know. But can they win? Yeah. This team can win with the way that they play. So, you know, I don't have expectations that they're going on a cup run or anything like that. But the more I watch this team play, the more dangerous I feel like they can be in the playoffs.
Yeah, look, very possible that they are the three starting, you know, playing St. Louis and not having home ice. And that's a tough series. I would think that they would be slight underdogs in that series. So they would be, you know, per Vegas's view, expected to not win a round. And honestly, if they lost to St. Louis in that hypothetical playoff series, I wouldn't really bat an eye. I think it would be really close.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's interesting because, I feel like the rest of the West, I would like their chances to be pretty close to even against just about anyone. other than Colorado, but I actually would be fascinated to see this team play Colorado, a seven-game series, and I think this is the kind of team that actually could pull it off. Not saying they would, not saying I'd pick them to, but they're the kind of team that could bother that team in a seven-game series, potentially. Just saying.
I don't think there's – I mean, just looking at it objectively from the outside, if you're a team like Colorado or you're a team like St. Louis – or Calgary or Edmonton or whoever you want to throw in there. With the way the Predators play and the style that they bring to the table, probably most importantly, the goaltender that they bring to the table, and you have potentially a Norris Trophy winning defenseman on the other side as well. Like, there are a lot of ingredients that the Predators have with Forsberg and Duchesne scoring left and right that I think scare the daylights out of teams. Now, you know, they're NHL players. Nobody's going to be shaking in their boots to play against anybody else. But I bet if you gave their teams their pick, the Predators would not be high in terms of playoff teams around the league that people would just be lining up to play against.
Agree. And again, go back to 3 years ago, that team after the President's Trophy, they got so physically handled by Dallas, which, you, granted, Dallas was a very big, strong team and all that, but there was no fear. I mean, the Preds had good players. Pecorine had a couple games in that Dallas series. He was outstanding, but they didn't bring dread with them. This team brings dread if you see them. And a lot of that has to do with of course, the Sissons line, but the Herd line, but it's very different in that way. And again, I just think that we've only seen, look, we saw one playoff series against a really good team, a team that could win it all this year, by the way, and I think was a contender last year.
Yep.
And the Preds took them to six. They could have had them. And I don't think they hadn't yet quite gotten to where they are now, I don't think, with that line and with their identity and with maybe I shouldn't say that. They were making defensemen. They had their heads on swivels in the
They
corners.
Did, but it's taken they've gone further this year. Yeah. It's a different game.
Yeah. So that's where the intrigue is for me is like, okay, now let's see that in seven games. Whoever they play is going to hate their guts after it's over. I can promise you that.
There's no question about that. And look, the thing heading into the playoff series last year that I wondered about, I mean, and I guess to a certain degree, you still wonder about with this Predators team is, do you have enough firepower offensively to compete in the playoffs? You know, Matt Duchesne and Philip Forsberg right now, though, I mean, they're on such a different level right now than they were heading into the playoffs last year. I mean, it's not even really comparable at this point. So I don't know that you're going to need depth scoring if you're going to advance in the playoffs. We all know that. Like, as good as Johansson and Forsberg and Duchesne are playing right now, that line cannot single-handedly carry you through three rounds in the playoffs. So you're going to need depth scoring along the way. But I don't know how, like, I don't have any, you know, fears if I'm the Predators right now with the way those two are playing specifically, that they're just going to get shut down come playoff time, regardless of who they play against.
Right. No, I know. It's hard to imagine. That's for sure. It's hard to imagine. It does change in the playoffs, obviously. You know, that teams put so much into that. And especially, you know, if you're on the road and they have last change and all that stuff and they find a matchup. But these guys are – this is consistent night in, night out. And, again, they didn't score last night, but they're dangerous all the time.
Well, and the big thing is the power play. Like, that's got to come through for you in the playoffs, and you've got to find a way. When you do get power plays in the playoffs, and I know that they call it a little bit more strict and there's more five-on-five play, which is fine, but you still get power play opportunities in the playoffs. And for so long, the Predators just haven't been able to capitalize on that. This power play from start to finish so far this year has been very consistent. And that's another thing you feel pretty good about if you're the Predators heading down the stretch here into the playoffs. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Nate texting in says, did y'all see the Preds rookie hits in a single season record stat on the broadcast last night? Shea Weber set it with 211, and Janot is at 205. He's going to crush that record. Yeah, Tanner Janot is probably going to end up with like 280 hits this year.
Which is like, man, does he ever get hurt? Does he ever feel the hits?
I don't think so.
It's ridiculous, man.
By the way,
it really is.
I mean, Roman Josi made a freaky play last night on his goal to get open and shoot the puck, but that's part of what makes, I think, Tanner Janot and the offensive game that he brings to the table. That's why I think there's staying power there, because when you can drive to the middle like that and get your stick on pucks and redirect it the way he can, you're going to score a lot of goals doing that. That was a heck of a play last night from Tanner Janot.
No doubt. I mean, it's quite a combination that he has. And again, a year ago, he was probably just getting in the lineup, right?
Yeah, maybe not even yet.
Maybe not quite yet. Pretty amazing.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Play hooky with the game and watch all the games at New Heights Brewing this Thursday and Friday, March 17th and 18th. We'll be broadcasting live, and there will be beer and basketball all day long. You can enjoy from the local distro and try beers from the Tap Truck Nashville and New Heights Brewing as well. A portion of proceeds from beer sales will go to Metro Animal Care and Control. So come and play hooky and give back at New Heights Brewing at 928 Rep John Lewis Way South in Nashville, powered by Wager, the new gaming app where you challenge your community, not the house. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Some news in the NFL as free agency continues to be hot and heavy out there, which, by the way, the official beginning of free agency is today. Coming from Jeremy Fowler from ESPN, the Cleveland Browns are going to release tight end Austin Hooper as a post-June 1st designation. A 27-year-old dual-threat tight end and two-time Pro Bowler will be on the market. So a post-June 1st designation. So that's still a little bit away from actually being released. But what do you think about that, Rex Road? They franchise tag David Njoku, now going to release Austin Hooper as a post-June 1st designation. Could that be something that maybe J. Rob and the Titans have their eye on?
Yeah, on their eye on, yeah. Can they afford it?
I don't know. What do you think the market looks like? I mean, he's really kind of at the perfect age, like 27. He's going to make pretty good money for himself.
I mean, that would be a nice pickup for sure. I still think they're going to come in more in the mid-level because why?
The cap exists.
It does. I mean, you and Jared are going. I'm not even in this fight with you and Jared, by the way.
Latest, like literally 10 seconds ago, tweet from Jared Stillman in all capital letters. Go sign Austin Hooper. I don't care what it costs because the cap is fake. All capital letters.
There you go. The cap is fake. The cap is fake. See, here's the thing. He makes so many good points. He has a great grasp for this. Like, all the arguments he makes after saying that dumb statement are good.
Yeah.
But then you got to go tunes and yank the wheel. Don't just keep it on the road. Keep it on the road. The cap does exist. You do have limitations. Every team has limitations. If not, we'd see a New York Yankees team, and we have not seen that. We've seen, like, teams go real big, the Chiefs and the Bucks, and figure it out and all that stuff. But if it didn't exist, then that's what you would see. You would see the Red Wings of the late 90s. You would see or early 2000s. You would see the New York Yankees, et cetera, et cetera. We don't have that in the NFL because it exists. But clearly, I do feel like the league, I think teams are leaning in on this more, on the, you know, the voidable years and all this stuff to kick the can down the road. And I do think the league has become more of a kind of NBA, like, I guess, like this particular year, this is how we're loading up this, rather than, okay, we're going to grow into this over 3-4 years.
Yeah.
And obviously it's very much revolving around the quarterback position.
How about this from some reporting that's been done out there with club proposals for the rules for 2022? Apparently Indianapolis and Philadelphia have proposed to allow both teams an opportunity to possess the ball in overtime. And the Titans apparently have taken it kind of one step further there of allowing both teams an opportunity to possess the ball in overtime unless the team with first possession scores a touchdown and a successful two-point try as well. What do you think of that one, Rex Road? Of we want both teams to have the ball in overtime unless the team that gets the ball first scores a touchdown and is successful on a two-point try. I kind of like it.
I'm concerned that the Titans are wasting their time with this stuff.
Hey,
who cares?
They can multitask,
I guess. Yeah, I don't know. Like the overtime rules, I like the college rule. The NFL is never going to do that, so it's not.
I like the old college rule.
Well, agree. I like the college rule the old way, where you don't immediately go to 2-point. They need to get rid of that as fast as they possibly can. Just do what they had before. Every once in a while, you get an LSU Texas A&M that goes 8 overtimes. Okay, well, that's too bad. Great. We all enjoyed watching it. But
and this, it doesn't happen very often.
Exactly. This you make them go – if you want to make them go for 2 from the start of the second overtime, or even, shoot, I don't care if in college if they make them go for 2 from the first overtime. That's fine. But the 2-point thing is stupid. The NFL side, I wish they did the college rules, the classic college rules. They won't. This whole, like, everybody should get a chance. I think the rule is fine how it is now. If a team
can't play defense, like, exactly. That is an option.
You are allowed to play some defense in professional football. So if a team comes down and just marches down the field and scores a touchdown on you, well, see ya. Shut up. You know, don't cry about the rules. whatever. It's the screaming about this when, like, this happens in a game. Again, it's just the instant response is, well, that team had their defense on the field.
Nate texting in says, what would the Titans' proposal really change? It's still the potential for only one team to possess the ball.
Right.
I mean, it is. But, like, if you go down the field and score a touchdown and then you score a 2-point conversion on top of it, which is hard to do, like, you probably deserve to win at that point. But I hear what Nate's saying.
I think the Titans should have gone a step further. If you score a touchdown – 2-point conversion, and you have an incredible end zone dance, like everybody being a bowling pin or something like that, then you get to win and go home.
Yeah. Get like the dunk contest judging committee up there, Dwayne Wade, giving it a 9 out of 10. Be good stuff. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We've talked about the potential of Deshaun Watson maybe ending up with the Atlanta Falcons. Got a texter that says, can we trade Tannehill and Julio for Matt Ryan and our second-round pick back? Get Tannehill paired back up with Arcer. So cut off the Texans at the head. Say, nope, we're not going Deshaun Watson to the Falcons. We'll give you Tannehill, and Titans take Matt Ryan back on the other side.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure that's in the works as a plan B for Deshaun Watson.
Take Julio Ryan right with you.
Yes, that's right. Well, there it is. All set. Ready to go. Tannehill's the quarterback in 2022.
Yes, they are. If Deshaun Watson, though, ends up, like, I felt bad for Arthur Smith last week when the Calvin Ridley stuff came out. I was like, man, poor Arthur Smith. He's taking this job down there, and Julio's gone his first year, and now Calvin Ridley's not going to play his second year. Like, they're probably going to suck, and he's going to end up getting fired, even though I think he's a pretty good head coach down there in Atlanta. You get Deshaun Watson, though, that could change in a hurry if you're Arthur Smith.
Expectations change, too, but, yeah, you'll take that. You might, you're fine in this league with sky-high expectations, even if they're unrealistic, if you got the players that might actually fulfill them. So, yeah, that would be it'd be pretty significant for Arthur Smith.
Just get Kyle Pitts on your fantasy team. Kyle Pitts is going to get like 25 targets a game next year, regardless of who the quarterback is.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, it seems annual now that the receiver crop coming out of college is very talented, very good, very ready to play in this league. It's just the league has borrowed so much from college that it's I think that, you know, you can find a good rookie if you're the Falcons on the outside and have a good chance of, you know, really having him make a difference. Didn't used to be that way. Not that long ago, it was not that way.
Joe Rexroad, you're up in Indy today, having some fun at the NCAA tournament. That's going to do it for you today here on the program. We'll see you back in the morning.
I got to go interview some Longwood Lancers and then some Tennessee Vols and watch a little practice.
Very nice.
Have fun, Rex.
We'll see you in the morning.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll be joined by our friend Chase McCabe at some point. He is, I think, doing some work right now, but he'll be joining us in the next segment at some point along the line as well. We got a lot of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Take a shot on college hoops this March with a risk-free bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. All customers get a risk-free bet on the bracket. You just sign into FanDuel Sportsbook app to claim yours today. If you're new to FanDuel, sign up with promo code Rob to get in on the action. Then you can bet that underdog you've had your eye on or just go with the favorite. Either way, it's risk-free. Maybe you like the Vols as Rex Road heads off to Vols practice. Maybe you like them to make a run to the Final Four this year. Either way, take it any way you want to take it. And with cash out, the ball's in your court so you can close out your bet whenever you want before the game is over. There's no better place to bet the tournament than FanDuel Sportsbook. You can join now with promo code Rob, or if you already have an account, sign into the FanDuel Sportsbook app to claim your risk-free bet today. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $5. Offer is non-transferable. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Corey in Clarksville saying Austin Hooper for tight end. He was just released. He was. He's not actually going to be released until after June 1st, but he is going to be released by the Cleveland Browns, so maybe an option for the Titans on that front. NFL free agency officially beginning today. So I know a lot of moves have already been made, but we'll see what happens. And if the Titans are any more active today in free agency, let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Chad from Chattanooga texting in says, I know we want to sign Forsberg by the deadline, but wouldn't we want to keep him either way? What's wrong with keeping him until the end of the year and continuing to try to sign him? Otherwise, you trade him for picks or another rental with no guarantee. I take Forsberg and the chemistry and betting on getting a deal done by the end of the year. Well, I think it's the most likely option. I think it's likely at this point that the Predators and Forsberg may not have a deal done by Monday. I think it's also likely that they probably keep him. Now, what's the harm? The harm is you keep him, you get put out in the first round, he doesn't sign with you, and then you could have gotten a lot of picks and prospects for him, and you lose him for nothing. That's the harm. So it's not risk-free if you're David Poyle and not trading him. There are some people and some Predators fans that we hear from on the text line that say, if he's not signed by Monday, trade him. I don't care where they are in the standing. So I don't think Poyle's going to do that. I think that Philip Forsberg will be a part of the Predators by the time Monday afternoon and Tuesday morning rolls around. But there is a risk that goes along with that as well. I can tell you this. If they do trade Philip Forsberg, it's not going to be for another rental. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So if you're going to do that, you might as well just keep him at that point. Let's go back to the text line. Ryan in Nashville texting in says, I don't know if it was just me, but this team had a bigger chip on their shoulder last night against the Penguins than they did against the Blues and Wild on Saturday and Sunday. What do you think? I do not agree with that. I thought Matt Duchene laid it out pretty nicely. I thought the Preds were okay last night. I thought they defended pretty well. I thought UC Saros played really well. I thought the Predators were good against St. Louis. I thought there was plenty of chippiness there against Minnesota as well. So I don't know if I buy that, but anytime you can get a win against the Penguins with the way that they've been playing as of late, that's a pretty good day for you. Michelle, NCAA tournament coming up this weekend. You've got the Cats winning the title. I think Rex Road has the Cats winning the title as well and has the Vols in the Final Four. So that'd be something if we could see a Kentucky-Tennessee rematch. I've got Gonzaga, which I thought for sure last year was going to be the year they get it done, and obviously they did not. They lose in the national title game, but I'm interested to see with tournament play getting start tomorrow, who kind of sneaks up out of nowhere. We went through some dark horse candidates earlier, whether that's Iowa or could Murray State give Kentucky a game in the second round? If it's Tennessee, Michigan in the second round, could Michigan give Tennessee a game? There's a lot of different ways you could go with it, but I think this is going to be a fun NCAA tournament, and I'm glad that we're going to have crowds back in there for the atmosphere this time around as well.
Exactly. I mean, you see all of those incredible plays, and last year when we watched them on TV, it's like, oh, you were talking about the Jalen Snuggs play, and there's just nobody in the stands. He just runs up on the scorer's table and just flexing to practically no one. I'm so excited. I do feel like we're going to see some upsets starting tomorrow, Robbie. There's some great, St. Peter's, I don't know, I've never heard of them, but I'm scared for every Kentucky game that they play, so it doesn't matter.
Big time worrying about St. Peter's coming up tomorrow. I'm not kidding.
You never know.
I'm rooting for Duke to be put out of this tournament as quickly as possible. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Cal State or if it's Michigan State in the second round. I'm a big time. I know a lot of people hate Duke, so I get that. I've never really cared one way or the other about Duke, but Coach K is aggravating me as of late. So I'm pulling big time for Duke to get put out.
Well, I think the whole ceremony and that whole just last dance all season, and they made it such a big deal at every single ACC game. Everybody knows he's a great coach and he's accomplished so much in college basketball, arguably one of the best coaches ever. But I think they just went way over the top this year for his whole last dance. And I think that aggravated people even more. Not that he's already not aggravating enough. And then for this whole, you know, Duke UNC special and everything, and then they lost, and then his speech, I think everybody's just ready for that chapter to be closed.
Almost everybody. Don't tell Adam Bingen that.
Except for Duke fans. Yeah, as soon as he's off his paternity leave, That's the first thing we're bringing up.
Oh, yeah. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, you trade Tater Tot, which apparently is Taylor Lewan, and Tannehill, along with all the first-round picks that J-Rob will blow for Watson. Have Tater Tot take his bus with him. So apparently not a Taylor Lewan fan. First off, it would take more, way more than Taylor Lewan and Ryan Tannehill. Like, I don't know why Houston would want Ryan Tannehill at this point, but they're not trading Deshaun Watson to the Titans. There's a 0.0% chance that that would happen. So,
Tater Tot, have you ever heard that nickname?
I don't think so for Taylor Lewan. I don't know. I don't hate it.
Kind of love it.
April in Portland texting in says, I want to sign Forsberg, but I don't want to have another 8-year, $8 million plus contract and get screwed. I'd like 5 years at eight or $8.5 million. I'm okay to throw in a no movement clause. If he's not signed by Monday, trade him. I want something for him and not another Ryan Suter case. I certainly understand that. There's no chance Philip Forsberg is signing a 5-year contract. This is not going to happen. Again, we talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, and there have been kind of like different theories thrown out there of like what would the term be for Forsberg. Like, to me, Forsberg is absolutely getting a 7-year deal on the open market. So that's the minimum. Like, he's at least getting 7 from somebody. So if you're the Predators, you probably have to go 8. So I don't see any scenario where Philip Forsberg is a member of the Nashville Predators next season if it's not under an 8-year deal. Like, I could be wrong. I've been wrong about contracts before quite frequently, but I just don't see any scenario where he's here in anything less than 8-year deal. And look, I understand. Like, if you're a Predators fan, maybe you don't want to sign up for another 8-year contract. Now, I will say the 8-year contracts that we've made such a big deal about are Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson, both of them playing pretty darn well this year. Roman Josi's got an 8-year contract. Nobody seems to be worried about Roman Josi right now. So I get the idea of not wanting to, you know, tie yourself down with an 8-year contract. But at some point, if you're David Poile and the Predators, you got to be willing to hand out 8-year contracts. Otherwise, you're going to lose guys. And I think Forsberg is a pretty good example of that. Like, I don't envision a scenario where he's back if it's not on an 8-year deal. And I know some people say, all right, well, I don't want him back then. Like, I don't want to commit to an 8-year deal and have years 6, 7, and 8 of that be an albatross when it comes to the contract. And that's fine. I guess my follow-up question to that is, how do you replace Philip Forsberg? Because that's what you're going to have to do if you're not willing to sign into an 8-year deal, in my opinion. Now that I've gone through this, Michelle, it's going to come out like tomorrow that Philip Forsberg signed a 5-year deal, and it's going to make me look really stupid, but I would just be shocked if it's anything less than 8 years.
Robbie, I was going to ask you if you think he will be signed before David Poile goes on Darren Donick and Chase next Tuesday. I think Poyle's done talking about it. I think he hopes so, so that when Darren asks him the question, he can be like, yes.
I think there's a chance, yes. I will say his answer yesterday encouraged me. It doesn't sound like there's a whole lot left to haggle over. It's the number, and that's a big deal. But you can figure out the number and get some middle ground there pretty quickly in negotiations. I will put the chances, and this is a total guess. I'm not reporting anything, but I'll put the guesses at this. I'd say 52% chance that he signed by next Monday, 48% that he's not. So I would say a little bit over than half that I believe he'll be signed by the time the deadline rolls around on Monday. It's close.
It is
close.
We'll
find out what happens. We'll find out what happens on that front. Going to be an interesting week for the Predators. Not only do you have to figure that out, you got to figure out if you're going to add anybody hit the deadline as well. So lots for David Poyle to do. I don't expect him to be huge buyers at the deadline, but I would not be surprised if they went out and added maybe a veteran defenseman, maybe like a middle six winger that could play with Granlund, or you could shuffle lines around and can play in different spots for you. But we'll see what happens on that front. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase is coming up next. You're listening here at ESPN 102.5 The Game.